remembers a way when you just need to be safe. Somewhere in the space between tomorrow and today, you know my shoulders are there to carry the weight. 'Cause I'm the only one who's still awake.
Hey y'all, it's Kaylee Shore, and I'm hanging out with Donald on his show, Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
Y'all, we have been hanging out for like 10 minutes and already the conversations that we've had. Can we get started, please? Because I feel like we're missing out on a lot of really good content that I don't want to say again. I like the good stuff that comes out naturally.
That might have been my best line. I'm not sure if I could top that.
All right, so we're going to end the show now. We have nothing more left to have.
Goodbye. Right, so. That was it. That was my best.
Hey, let's get started, guys. Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. It's Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. What's up? Super sick Kevin McCarty.
Oh my gosh, it's good to be back.
Man, I tell you, it's been a month for me. I have been all over the world, not complaining.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest. It's good to be back in Nashville. There's really no place like home, and I know that's a cliche say, but I look forward to coming back to Nashville. You know how people are like, I'm on vacation, I don't want to go home? Nashville feels like you're coming back to a vacation, I feel like.
I agree. I always tell people my favorite part of LA is leaving.
Wow. Well, there you go. Well, let me introduce our guest, because that really, really gorgeous voice you just heard in the microphone is our guest. It's Kaylee Shore. How are you?
Hello. I'm fabulous. You gave me champagne, so I'm good.
You know why?
Because it's One Hope.
It's One Hope.
And that's how we met.
That's how we met. Kevin, so last week I'm in LA speaking to the One Hope Wine Company. Phenomenal. By the way, I feel like our audience thinks we are paid for a lot of these plugs we give.
No.
Or not. Like I Vitaflow last week and now One Hope. I don't plug these because I get paid. That's just part of our lives, right?
Totally.
And One Hope is obviously a huge part. Great company, great wine, obviously. But man, they do like great call stuff. Like everything, all their wine, it like goes to a philanthropy. Like why wouldn't you drink wine for a good cause?
Mm. Well, now I think they just saved a bunch of money on their commercial.
Yeah, well.
By 15 seconds from Donald.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
You're welcome.
I get my fair share of One Hope wine, so it's okay. Huh? Yeah, we're always recording. Oh. But so I'm at the meeting. I'm actually speaking at their Crush It conference meeting last Saturday.
Did you crush it? He did.
First of all.
He crushed it.
Come on. We don't know each other that well, but I feel like we're stating obvious stuff right now. Let's be honest, Kevin. No, so Brandon, though, which is one of the founders and a good buddy of mine, actually, we're calling this One Hope Wine Studios where we record.
I like it.
Yeah. And but he was like introducing us. He was like, Kaylee, Donald has this podcast called Hits Collecting Dust. You know what she said? Oh my gosh, that's you? And I'm not going to lie, that made me feel really good.
Oh, yeah. Well, a bunch of my friends have been on it. Kelly Bannon, Carly Pierce, April Cry. Love it.
Been fun. Well, we're glad you're on.
Yes. So that was how we got introduced, and I feel like there was a connection ever since. Do you feel the same way,
or did I just really make that up? I agree. Maybe it's just the champagne, but
or it could be the champagne.
The luring.
Either way. So that's why you're here. But honestly, I'm really glad it worked out that way, because not only that, we're going to do a little in style.
Yes, we are.
Interview and actually get, I think, in a boxing ring.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
When is this?
I haven't scheduled it yet.
Post champagne.
I thought you meant just now, and I was like, all right.
Post those tequila shots we were talking about.
Well, if you haven't heard, which I feel like most people have, you have a phenomenal song, Fight Like a Girl.
Thank you.
Love that song.
Thanks so much.
As a dude, I can say I love that song. I mean, and always have loved that song. And then when I knew you were coming on, I'm like, I kind of feel like we could turn this into a little bit of a little competition here.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
So maybe after this, or when we do our InStyle TV interview, we're going to go to Title Box, good friend. Here's another plug. Title Box, friend Shiva owns. Yeah. But we're going to get in the ring and we're going to box it out. What do you think?
It feels like The Price is Right, where they're like, and then this wonderful prize from Title Boxing. Blah, 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 blah.
See, that is not what it's meant to be.
I'm Bob Barker. You're the girl in the bikini.
Thank you.
I'm a random fan.
Yes. You're the person who like was so excited to be on The Price is Right, and they spent like 6 months on
the
costume.
I always do the $1.
Yeah.
$1.
Yeah, $1. Oh gosh, going over.
That's enough intro. I mean, I'm not. None of this is coming out right if I'm sounding like Bob Barker or the lady in the bikini.
No, yeah, I'm Bob Barker. You're the lady in the bikini.
So this is why I'm confused.
You're the looks of this operation.
Whatever. Hey. All right, that was just an obvious laugh. Like what? All right. Let's move on.
It's a very nasal, heavy laugh. Yeah. I snort, too.
You want another shot of ginger?
No.
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Do tell us that story. You walk in, you're like, man, I feel so good. Why?
Well, I had some time to kill. I had came right here from my co-write and I wanted to, I'm feeling a little bit like stuffy, not terrible, but I heard that a good way to fix that is ginger shots, right? Little, you know, overpriced things you get at the fancy store. And I go to Franklin Juice Company right down the street and I was like, okay, it's one ginger shot, please. And then I like go in my car and take it. It was like ginger turmeric. And oh my gosh, like I swear to God, I still feel it in my esophagus. It's been like 35 minutes. So.
And how did you hear about these ginger shots?
Instagram models.
Perfect. End of story.
Right. Don't listen to the Instagram models, especially if the post says hashtag ad or sponsored, because then you know they're lying. Our posts are not sponsored. We just like One Hope Wine.
And to a certain extent, believe me, I don't want to shoot myself in the foot by not ever getting sponsors, but at least that we're not getting paid. If we're talking about something, it's real, because I'm not getting paid to do it, right?
Yeah. Like 6 months from now, they're going to be like, we're going to have to like come back and be like, ginger shots are the best thing ever.
And if you're
sponsored by Instagram models.
And if you're feeling adventurous, try the turmeric ginger limited edition out now.
Like your guys' content.
I was paid $3 million to tell you to drink this terrible thing.
They pay me $3 million. I'll say whatever they want me to say.
Oh, same. Same.
I won't. I have integrity.
Whatever. I don't even want to
tell
hear
me
it.
How your wallet feels after all that integrity filling it up.
See?
So right.
See?
She got me.
She's
on
not
that
actually
one.
An artist. She's a stand-up comedian.
My band makes fun of me when we play shows because they're like they call the moments in between songs like Kaylee's stand-up.
Okay,
because they're like, I'm pretty sure you just started being a songwriter, so you could like talk into a microphone. I'm like, you're not wrong.
Well, it doesn't work the other way around. I'll say that. Like I started talking into a microphone and I promise you that I cannot just decide to be a singer.
So you're like, I'm a singer
that's,
now.
That's not going to happen.
Well, but maybe speaking of Instagram models, I'm pretty sure some of them do that. So.
Oh, really?
You know what I was jamming to the other day?
Tell me.
Stars Are Blind by Paris Hilton. Do you remember that? When she released a single?
Oh my God, I forgot
even
she did that.
Even if the guys are crazy, even though the stars are blind. Yeah. So sometimes
totally
it does work
that
way. Yeah.
Yeah, but she...
I like that song. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay. I forgot about it. Whatever happened? She dropped off.
I think she's doing really good, actually. I think that's why.
I don't think she's complaining by no means. I'm just saying, you know, she felt like she was all over the place for a very long time, and then you just don't hear anything anymore.
Yeah. I think it's Paris intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Good for her.
I'll give you guys an update.
Yeah. Why don't you check on that?
But keep going.
All right. Thanks. So anyway, let's talk more about you, please.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
I love talking about myself. Most people do. But I will say, we don't know each other that well. We didn't even really get a chance to hang out that much. Yeah. I just felt like we talked for a little bit. We had some mutual friends, obviously. And I actually got a very good report that you killed it the next night. I couldn't stay for your show, but you know what? You weren't at my talk, so I don't really feel
bad
about that.
It's true. You know what I was doing?
Did you crush it?
I did, I think, a little bit.
Okay. How's it feel?
Only because, but during your talk, I was in Newport Beach paddle boarding and eating French toast. So I'm really sorry, but like those two things beat you out easily.
Priorities.
Those are my two favorite things.
Priorities.
Water sports and French toast.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Love them.
Interesting.
Inactive water sports. Let me put a little asterisk there.
Well, so you moved here, though, from where?
Maine? Portland, Maine. Has to do with the water sports. So I grew up like half a mile from the ocean in Portland.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Big seafood eater, obviously.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And it's just not the same. Like it's the one thing Nashville doesn't have is the ocean and lobster.
We're kind of landlocked a little bit.
Like a lobster food truck.
Yeah. It's actually Maine Cousins Lobster. Yeah. I haven't tried it yet.
I'm not a big seafood eater. I'll be honest. Do you just answer me one thing? Do you like oysters?
I've always been more of a mussels person. I kind of like my food cooked. Yeah. I tried an oyster for the first time a couple months ago, and it was okay. I wasn't like nuts about it, but it was decent, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think I'd pay $12 an oyster like some people do. I was like, if someone's going to, you know, ask me to eat it, it's not terrible. But
yeah, I think the bravest person to ever walked the face of the earth was the first person to eat a raw oyster.
Yeah. You know, and it, or like the first person who like figured out you could drink cow's milk. Like what a freak, right? Like,
No.
Cause what a weirdo.
No, but somebody, you know, you can watch a calf drinking milk from the mama and go, hey, that's nutritional. What you don't do is pick up an oyster, figure out how to open it. And then when you do go, oh my God, that looks amazing.
It's really true.
Come on. I think it was an act of desperation.
It had
probably. Yeah. And then they were like, let me sell this for way too much money and tell people it's an aphrodisiac. You know what
we're going to call it a delicacy.
A delicacy. You know what people do? They like the lobster, like they have like this intestines. It's called the tamale. It's like their digestive system. And like old people put it on crackers and eat it. And it's like a little brown lump.
All right, define old.
Disgusting. This conversation took a dark turn. Like all the nursing homes in Maine, the people sit around and eat them. And it's like an old people thing. Yeah, but not caviar. I had caviar on a mimosa the other day. That was good. Like strawberry caviar.
Nope.
Good.
Can't do it.
I don't think it was real caviar. I think it was like...
I don't even know what caviar
fake
is.
Fake strawberry caviar.
They're expensive, Donald. Very. And they're delicious.
Okay. No, not
going to know.
All right. So you're in Maine, you're singing, and you're like, I got to move to Nashville. Why? How? What? That's how it happened?
Yeah. A lot of people always ask me, they're like, well, how'd you get started? And I like literally don't have an answer because I never knew a moment I didn't want to. I just kind of like started singing when I was a toddler and then was just like, okay, this is it. I don't have to be good at anything else. Great. You know?
What's school?
Yeah, I know for real. And actually, like, I'm super thankful because I was raised by a single mom and she was always very encouraging, but also wasn't like, I'm going to be a stage mom and force you go to to LA and, you know, have your own TV show. Like she was like, no, you can do this as soon as you graduate high school. I started posting YouTube videos because that was the best way for me to get out of my small town. And there wasn't a big country music scene in high school. When I was opening up for bands and stuff, they were always pop punk bands because that was the only scene that existed there. And they'd be like, well, you kind of sing stuff like that. And actually, I used to go and open up for pop punk bands and I would sing like Kelly Banning covers, which is really funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I told her that. She thinks it's hilarious.
She was in an a cappella group.
Was she really?
Did you know that?
Yeah, she's very talented. She like totally didn't remember. And I was like, oh, I can pull up stats.
That's hilarious.
You dominated from like 2006 to 2009. Dominated.
Just dominated. That's funny. I believe it. And so I would open up for people there. And then I started on YouTube and met a guy named Perez Hilton, not Paris Hilton, who we were just talking about. Perez.
I know Perez. I know of Perez.
Yeah, often confused. And he was super supportive. And, you know, he was my first real... I guess mentor in the industry, and he'd seen a lot of it because he was so involved on the ground levels of Katy Perry's and Lady Gaga's careers. Yep. And he like one way or another really helped them get their deals and get to where they are now. But he's just a big fan of music. And, you know, my mom didn't have a ton of money to put in my career, and by a ton, I mean like any, like, you know, it was like, oh, you got a winter coat this year. Go, you're doing great. And so he like paid for my first trip down to Nashville and my first, you know, songs I ever cut, and was just so supportive like that just because he cared. And like I played his birthday party and opened up for the Backstreet Boys when I was in high school, which is so bizarre.
Stop.
So many random things. And, you know, he's still such a great friend and always helps me in any way he can. And so that was such a great moment. And that was all through YouTube. So
were you a big Backstreet Boys? Hold on. Was that you? That wasn't your generation.
Yeah, no, it was.
Was it?
Yeah. So I'm the youngest of six. So my music taste is skewed just a little bit older than it should be because I'm 23. I was born in 94. But, you know, I was 5 years old listening to my sister's TLC CDs. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of other people my age, it was Destiny's Child. For me, it was TLC. So.
Gotcha. Well, I did meet Nick Carter the other day. Didn't even know it was him until after he walked off.
That's hilarious.
And it was one of those things where I was like, he walked off. I was like, that was Nick Carter, wasn't it?
You should reach out to him. Be like, hey, do you remember when I opened for you?
Well, it was really cool because I got to bring my sister, and she was, you know, a teenager in the height of their fame. So we were like standing right at the front of the stage, and she was like, you're the coolest little sister ever. Like, and it was only for like 200 people because it was a very small party. So she thought I was very cool. We also met Kim Kardashian that night. Stop. Very interesting. Yeah. She was lovely.
So who was your person? Like, I love her or him. And that was almost like your influence, I guess.
So my first concert I ever went to when I was 9 years old was at Madison Square Garden, and it was the Dixie Chicks with Michelle Branch opening. And that's like literally all you need to know about my music is just that, those are my earliest influences. And that was even before Michelle did the records and had a country number one. But those, you know, those two artists just completely changed my life, and yeah, they still do.
Where did you sing growing up? You were like, I knew. At what point did you hit a note and somebody goes, okay, like either you or your mom or your friends?
Literally, and like, never. Like, I was very tone deaf for a long time, but I just liked it so much. No, I'm not kidding. Like, I've never had that big, like, stop you in your tracks voice. I have what I call a songwriter voice. And I just loved it. Like, I just loved everything about it. And honestly, I was writing songs before I was singing in front of people. I think, like, the big thing that my parents noticed more than like my actual performing was how much I cared about lyrics. Like, I was, you know, I would take the Dixie Chicks CD and I would open it up and look and see the songwriters listed above the songs. And then I would like get on our like ancient iMac and like look up the songwriters and then find what other songs they wrote and then listen to those songs and get really into it. And then I learned what a publishing deal was. And when I was like 9 years old, I was like, I'm going to get a publishing deal. And they were like, okay. Like, and spoiler alert, I have one.
That's awesome.
So I just really paid attention to that a lot. And like, I mean, I think they probably noticed it more when I was like 5 or 6, like, you know, we'd listen to like older songs. Like, I remember, Last Kiss by Pearl Jam, which is like a cover of an older song, but, my parents would sing that to me and I'd just like bawl my eyes out cause I just loved it so much. And it was so sad. Or like, Traveling Soldier by the Dixie Chicks or Whiskey Lullaby by Alison Krauss and Brad Paisley. Like, those songs, I just had such a strong emotional reaction to them as a kid. And that was when I think they were like, okay, this is something more, but never my voice. My voice has never blown anyone out of the park. So
it's not bad. Have you heard me
thank
sing?
Thank you. No, I would love to.
It can make you feel a lot better about your voice.
Oh, good. we'll do those tequila shots and then go down to Lonnie's, do some karaoke.
Done. There you go.
Done. What's your
do you have a go-to karaoke song?
I do, actually.
What is it?
Kevin heard it the other night. It's more of a duet.
Okay.
It's Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
He did it in front of like...
I mean, Go Big or Go Home.
Turn around. Yeah. Yeah. So good.
So if you do that part, classic. I can do the other part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm so in.
Do you want to go karaoke right after this?
Yes.
We need to go before it gets really packed. Like,
I love karaoke because, so much.
Well, you should.
I did on my birthday. Sing. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, after a couple of shots, I can't.
Karaoke is for people who can't really sing. Like,
that's... But after I'm drinking, I can't really sing either, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Also... I love, my best friend Lena and I, she wrote Fight Like a Girl with me, Lena Stone. Our new party trick is to do Promiscuous Girl by Nelly and Timbaland. And I'm Timbaland and she's Nelly.
That's great.
You know, another good one I've done before.
What?
Duo rap, Shoop.
Shoop is a good one. Shoop's a great my one. Solo karaoke song, you know, it's, this is my side project, my solo stuff.
Sure.
is Waterfalls by TLC. And I do the rap. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm taking notes. I really feel like, though, Turnaround's a crowd pleaser.
It is. It is. And everyone hears, like, someone did that on my birthday because we all went to Lonnie's and it was so empty.
Yeah.
And it was just and 15 of my friends. Yeah. And we just got, like, hammered and did karaoke. But someone did Total Eclipse of the Heart and, like, the first note hits and everyone's just, like, screaming because it's, like, so lit. Yeah.
Did you ever do it at Santa's Pub?
You know, I've never done karaoke at Santa's, but I do love Santa's. Yeah. Next time.
Well, I'll know what we're doing this weekend.
Yes.
So you moved. Did you move to Nashville by yourself? Did you know anybody?
I knew like a small handful of people, mostly my dog. I knew like I'd done a couple label meetings when I was working with Perez and it was just like so early on in my career, like very premature, but it, you know, gave me a couple relationships, but my now manager had reached out to me on YouTube and been like, we should grab lunch. And I was like, oh, I'm not in Nashville yet, but I'll reach out when I am. Year later, we reconnected. And I was like, do you remember me? And he was like, no, but I guess we can get lunch anyways. and so that actually ended up being one of the best, you know, connections I've had because he's such a great, great manager.
I heard you say a quote one time that I thought was actually really profound because we talk about a lot about how how kind of friendly Nashville is in a sense that everybody's really not from here. So everybody kind of understands.
Yeah.
And so when you get here, everybody's like, yeah, just come on. But you did say a quote that I probably should have been saying all along too, Kevin. You totally missed this. Maybe it's because we're not music. But Nashville is very friendly, but it's not easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's kind of what you said. You're like, you know, Nashville's hard.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to at least music, right?
Yeah. And just getting here, I think like sometimes like at the time, I didn't really think I was doing anything too crazy. But when I got here, like looking back on my journey to Nashville, I was like, wow, that was pretty difficult. And so I finished high school early. My high school was super supportive of, you know, me pursuing, you know, my music, and they'd kind of had to deal with a little bit because I missed school when I was doing all the prez stuff. And they knew I didn't want to be there. So they were like, we'll work with you, change your schedule. So my senior year of high school was actually really intense. My mom fully supported me moving to Nashville, but she did not have a dime to give me to get me there. So she was like, you're on your own here, just because I literally, like, she just didn't.
Yeah.
And so my senior year, I sat down with my principal and we figured out a schedule where I was 18. And so that like the child labor laws didn't apply to me at that point. So I'd go to school at 7 a.m. I'd be there till 10:30. I'd go into work at 10:45 at my first job, which was at a pizza shop. And I'd be there till about 4. Then I'd leave and go to my other job from 4:30 to 9, go home, do my homework, wake up at 6 a.m, do it all over again.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Awesome. And I did that until I finished classes in January. And then I just worked full time, which amazingly enough felt like a break at that point. And then I walked with my class at graduation in June and then was on my way to Nashville.
Yeah.
Grinder.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And
I was still broke as hell when I moved down here. So
there's a perspective there. Totally in a lot of ways, you said that Nashville, you know, is friendly, but not easy.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a lot easier probably for you just by having that experience than it was most people.
Yeah.
That, look, not their fault or not, whether they were raised with, you know,
totally
income or not. Right.
Yeah.
But for that experience in general, like I just read, by the way, I'm not plugging anything else, but Kevin Hart's book, I Can't Make This Up, phenomenal. Highly recommend it. Really? Obviously, it's hilarious. Don't buy the hard copy. Actually, get Audible because Kevin reads it and he's hilarious.
And he's so funny.
Oh, he's hilarious.
That's a great idea.
So, but it's his story in general, and that title could not be any more perfect. Like, people, I can't make this up.
What's the title of it?
I can't make this up.
That's funny.
That's the name of the book because his life is like, oh my gosh. But he makes a lot of valid points, like life lessons. He's like, look, a lot of this career and stuff is nothing compared to what I grew up with.
Totally.
You know?
Absolutely. And my first job when I moved to Nashville, I rented an apartment that I'd never seen and my family was terrified.
Yeah, very trusting.
Yeah.
I read that too.
Yeah, they were terrified that I was going to like wind up like murdered. And thankfully, it was in like a cute part of town and it was very cheap and very bare bones. And I had a sleeping bag as a couch for a long time. But my first job was I worked at a hot dog stand on Broadway. Yeah. Yeah. For $8 an hour. Yeah.
On the street.
Yeah.
Was it Big Daddy Dogs?
No, it's the Snack Shack.
Oh.
Yeah.
Snack Shack. I don't know.
We had subpar hot dogs.
Snack Shack's still around?
Yeah, it's still around. And every time I walk by, I like put a 20 in the person's tip jar. Yeah. And I'm like, you're going to make it. You're going to be okay.
What
like,
were your hours? You were doing it all night?
Yeah. So I wouldn't tell my mom this, but I would like, I mean, and it was outside of Tequila Cowboy. So there was a bouncer and me and the bouncers were all best friends. And it was like, still wasn't a great life choice, but it wasn't like I was just standing there by myself. Like it's in like a little thing. And so I would work from 6 p.m. to 4 a.m. And then just so I could get up and write, because you know what writers...
$8 an hour, yeah. Plus tips, right?
Yeah. But you know what writing hours look like. You have to be there at 10:30 in the morning. And if you can't write writing hours, you don't write. Like, that's just how it works. So I had to find a job that wasn't going to be smack in the middle of that.
I did that. I graduated, moved to Nashville. First job didn't work out after like 3 months.
Yeah.
Didn't know what I was going to do. Worked on Broadway at Bailey's.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, can I give you all a tip? Guys don't make money at a sports bar.
No.
On Broadway.
No.
All right. My counterpart hot girl waitress were making bank. All right. I wasn't. But I do remember in a lot of ways it being like Sunday night, 3-4 in the morning, you know, you're closing.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forget. I took a napkin out because it was just kind of one of those nights that was like, what am I doing? type thing.
I
don't know if you ever had one of those moments.
Oh yeah,
selling hot dogs at 3 a.m. on Broadway.
Yeah,
but it was like, what am I doing? You know, and I just remember writing down things and stuff because the problem is, I'm not saying it's a problem for everybody, but the problem was for me is like you said, it's the schedule.
Yeah,
because if you work all night and then you're not really refreshed to find what it is that you want to do during the day. This is how you kind of get in that routine. And before you know it, you wake up 5-10 years can go by.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That was scary to me, you know?
And it's scary because like I see that in Nashville sometimes, like just people losing focus. And like, I always kind of had that laser focus and like never was able to. I actually had one job where I was working as the head concierge at a hotel. And I felt myself caring too much about the job. And I was like, you need to get out. And so I quit and just took a total leap of faith. And I was making like $200 a week as a lobby singer at another hotel. And I did that for 6 months and then signed my publishing deal and then Fight Like a Girl came out. But
what?
It was just like such a leap of faith. And I really believe that you have to jump in order to get where you want to go. And, but I just felt myself in that job caring too much and worrying about getting a promotion and worrying about like, you know, my performance review. And I was like, none of that matters. I did not move here to be a concierge. I moved here to be a, to be famous. So.
Well, yeah, it's that fine line though, between making a living and pursuing a dream. I think that's what a lot of people, can you really separate that in your mind?
Absolutely.
Cause you got to make it happen. And however you make it happen. But if it takes away, like you said, that kind of mental focus, that's a danger. That's a danger. It pays the bills, but that can be dangerous.
Yeah.
That's a great point. All right. Well, I have these three amazing questions. I call them amazing.
Really good.
Okay.
Really
all right. Good. I looked at you cause I was like, are they? Yes.
Well, I will rate these.
Right. There isn't a right or wrong answer, but we totally are going to be judging your answers to obviously the other.
You're not right or wrong, but we're really going to judge you. Yes, yeah. Okay, cool.
No, I have a scale. Like I'm ranking you with the other 70.
Okay.
Guests.
All right. All right. I'm excited. It's a challenge.
No, really. It's a lot of fun.
I really like being graded because it's like a very tangible like account of your performance. And I didn't go to college and I find myself craving that. I'm like song reviews. I'm like, can you like give me like a score? They're like, my publisher's like, no, that's weird. And I'm like, but I want to brag about getting an A. They're like, go to college. Like,
well, I guess
that didn't happen for me in college. So I'm not going to go there. But
I'm an overachiever. Let's go.
Songs do climb charts though. You got to like
exactly,
that.
Exactly.
So, that's good. All right. Well, here's the first question. At the ripe old age of 23 years old. Dang it, Kevin.
You know, just...
anyway.
God bless you.
Knowing what you know now, right? If you could have... Do you drink coffee, by the way? Oh, I love coffee. Yeah. If you could have coffee with your younger self. Now, here's the hard part with you. You always knew music.
Yeah.
Was it going to be a part of your life? But let's just say where, you know, you sit down with the principal and you're like, let's figure out a plan because as soon as school's out, I'm pursuing music Nashville. Yeah. Knowing what you know now, if you could sit down with that self, what would you tell yourself?
I mean, I still think that she'd be pretty stoked, you know? And I would just tell her that, you know, when I was in high school, I went through like a lot, you know, just with my family and with, you know, just growing up in like a poor neighborhood, there's drama everywhere. And I would have just, you know, told myself like, hey, one day you're going to go to work and you won't have to be in till 11 in the morning and you'll be able to get 2 shots of espresso in your coffee because you got enough money in the bank account to do that. And you're going to do what you love and people are going to tell you stories about how your songs have impacted them. And you get, you know, you have really cute shoes in your closet. You found a good man. I mean, I just like, I would tell her everything because I'd be like, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And I actually, I wrote a song that was like a letter to myself. And it's like, I wrote it by myself at 2 a.m. I had played the Bluebird with, and gotten, it was like a mentoring thing that Reba did. And so I got to like ask Reba all these questions and, I went home and I wrote a song to myself and it was like, the chorus was like, I've seen the light at the end of the tunnel. I've seen the way you shine. I know right now you don't think you're going to make it out alive, but just hold on, be strong. You're going to see it through my eyes. It might take some tears and time, but you're going to be all right. And, that's exactly what I tell myself.
That is a great answer. And God, I can't believe we haven't heard that. I want to tell you why.
On the rating scale for that.
Oh, yay. Would you say it was like a A or like an A?
It's not like,
just kidding. Thank you.
You get a 9.8.
Thank you.
Ooh. Well, I want to tell you why. Cause this is what I heard.
Olympics,
it was a great answer,
but solid.
this is a question I think you could tell the audience.
Yeah.
Maybe not a question. Well, yeah, a question. So what if I could tell you?
Yeah.
That this is exactly who you're going to be and what are you going to, you know, how you're going to turn out.
Yeah.
Would you act differently if you knew? Here's what so there's a famous Frank Sinatra quote.
Yeah.
Here's what I mean by this. And it's kind of the power of belief, right?
He's got some great ones.
He says, I played Frank Sinatra until I became Frank Sinatra, yeah. Which actually he meant by that, that I believed that I already was Frank Sinatra. I just had to play the part until I got there.
Absolutely. Fake it till you make it.
Right. And yeah. But it was not as much as fake it. It's just, no, I am. It's just, I'm only 10 steps behind, but I will get there. And it's not the, hey, you will get there. And you kind of believe like the question mark.
It's not like apathy. It's like, it's, yeah, it's just kind of believing in yourself even when you don't want to, I guess.
Yeah.
Or just like having confidence with no validation, which I guess is kind of more what it feels like. But
what if that's the answer?
I think it is. I mean, I really do.
It is the answer, I think. That's the point. It's like not a piece of advice. It literally is the answer. If you can actually believe, no, I'm actually already, I don't know, put it in a music, Garth Brooks, right? I'm already Garth Brooks. I'm not there yet. I'm just like 20 steps behind, but I am.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm even saying that right, but I hear it that way. Maybe it's just because I've seen so much or so many of the people that are successful going, you know, yeah, there was some uncertainty, but I always just believed that I would.
Yeah. I just,
so
think,
therefore they act now like they have.
Yeah. Well, I have so much further to go and I'm still a baby artist. I'm still an indie artist, but I have like made a living doing this, you know, and it's not much, but it's more than my mom made when she raised me. So that's kind of a big deal and a big, like, you know, perspective check for me whenever I start to feel like I'm broke. I'm like, yeah, your mom raised you on like half this. So, says less about how much I'm making now, more about how little my mom was making when she raised me. But,
and you got by, you made it like, right.
And, well, you know, you met my best friend at the One Hope thing, Elizabeth. She's awesome. And she's been, you know, by my side through all of it. And honestly, my biggest cheerleader, and it sounds cheesy, but like, I love her and she's my soulmate. And I think that your girlfriends can be your soulmates for sure. But she was talking to me about how she comes to interviews with me and she was at CMA Fest with me this year and that was a really big year and I did an interview and people were like, oh yeah, like how do you like, you know, get started or like what made you know like you were going to do music? And I answered it the same way I answered it to you. And she was talking to me afterwards and she was like, it's so funny because when you moved away to go be a songwriter, like people in my hometown, like talk trash about it. And they were like, yeah, well, Kaylee's going to see the real world, you know, when she figures out that life's not all unicorns and rainbows. And Elizabeth's like, but it was all unicorns and rainbows. She's like, you did it. Like, she was like, people thought you were crazy because you just ran off and were like, I'm going to make this happen. But now you did. And that was like a cool moment for me to be like, yeah, I did, didn't I? Yeah. Shoot.
That's awesome. But I didn't hear a whole, I don't know, maybe this is a perspective too, but it didn't sound like the way you were working and making it happen that it was rainbows and unicorns where you were.
No, but
it?
I mean, like, things are great right now, you know, and I think it's always a battle and a challenge. But like I said, like, you know, just from a perspective check, like,
yeah,
I don't want to like, you know, I obviously have so much more I want to achieve, but I don't want to like lose perspective and not understand how amazing it is that I get to do this for a living and travel and, you know, whatever.
Like in
that's more what I'm getting at.
Matthew McConaughey's like acceptance speeches, he said something similar when he was like, you know, I look forward to my family and then who I chase is me 10 years now or something like that. And everyone was like, what? His heroes himself? Like, what the heck? And he was like, yeah, it's me in 10 years.
Yeah, totally. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that. I'm going to look that one up. Well, that is a great... All right, what about the best... Second question. The best piece of advice someone else has ever given you that you've just kind of lived by? And it doesn't even have to be about music or anything, just life in general.
You know, I got it pretty recently from a girl who I've looked up to since I moved to Nashville and I've known her for about 3 years, but Kelsey Ballerini is a really good friend of mine and I admire everything she does because everything she does is true to herself. But we were just kind of talking and, she shared some advice with me and a bunch of other girls, that are in the music industry, most of whom you've had on your show. And, just kind of about how like being naive isn't a bad thing. Cause if you walk in a room and you feel like what's wrong with believing in yourself? What's wrong with thinking that the world isn't out to get you? What's wrong with, you know, just blindly following your dream and like hoping things fall into place and not seeing, you know, like not being jaded, I think it was just a really cool perspective, that she shared with all of us. And I think that that's something powerful to me to not like weigh the pros and cons before I do everything and just jump and be like, yep, it's going to be fine.
I'll tell you, I think, this has changed as I've gotten older. I used to think when I was younger that if I knew more than other people and I tried to learn more, like I was kind of ambitious. So I was like, if somebody's touched a stove that's hot, All right. And they can tell me the stove's hot. I'd rather learn from them than me have to touch the stove myself.
Right.
And not that there's anything wrong with that. I think that's good in a lot of ways. But I tell you, the realization that I got to, I think, when you kind of get that epiphany for whatever reason, that I think being naive sometimes is the gift.
Absolutely.
Right. I was so almost, maybe I was a little too concerned at a young age to try not to be naive. Like I was wanting to catch up and learn things before they actually caught up to me. Right.
Yeah.
And I think you lose something in that. And so sometimes you look back, I go, God, you know, being naive, what's the gift?
Absolutely.
A lot of entrepreneurs hear that from venture capitalists and big companies. And they say like your naiveness to how the industry works in whatever field is a blessing because no one's ever been like, you can't do that, or that's not how it works or whatever. You don't know any better, but you're like, I'm going to do it this way.
Absolutely.
And you have no idea that like everybody else is going, well, you can't because of this. And Steven says no and whatever.
Do you know how many people would have told Kelsey that she couldn't have a number one off her debut record as a female in the climate, the way it is right now. And then she had three.
Awesome.
I'll take any advice she has to give me. I'm like, you know how to do it. Tell me how to live my life, Kelsey.
Who was it, Kevin, that was on here that made a lot of sense too? Something about Kel's advice, I've always said this, do you until you is what they want.
Yeah.
But I think there's this thing where you, especially maybe as an artist, you try to be like someone who's successful.
Yeah.
And then if you become too much like them,
you're screwed.
It was Carly.
Yeah.
Carly was on. If someone came on, it was like, they're like, Carly, you have to sound and write like this person. And then she got to that point and
they're like, you're too much like this
person now. And you're like, you told me to be like, what?
Yeah.
I hate you.
I know.
Yeah. It's really hard when you have, it sounds like a big, scary they who's like, you need to do this. But a lot of times it's people who genuinely care and they're just grasping at straws as much as you are. And they want to try to act like they have the answer because they want to help you. Mm. But sometimes like people's advice, even people you respect, like it hurts you more than it helps. Yeah. And it's like learning how to filter that through your brain and be like, okay, they have a point there. Maybe I should take like a shade of that into consideration, and the rest of it, I just need to keep doing what I'm doing.
That's really good. I think if you're listening to this and you're wanting to pursue a dream or are pursuing a dream that's not music, this is what I love.
Yeah, it's so relevant.
Yeah, it's relevant to anybody in all dreams. Music is just really cool and a really huge, obviously, entrepreneur culture. But I think we're not saying don't reach out.
Yeah.
But I found myself almost reaching out to too many and getting too many individuals' opinions. So I think maybe you find a couple of people that you respect or whatever, you get their opinion, and then you kind of take what you can. But at some point, that naive, you got to do it on your own.
And you need to be self-aware. You need to know. Like, and I think whenever I see people who aren't doing well, like that's usually the culprit. It's not anything else. It's the fact that they're not aware of themselves. And I've been guilty of that so many times. But it's like, you know, from an appearance standpoint, from how you treat other people, like most people who are like mean to people don't think they are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a lot of people are like, no, I'm doing fine. It's like, no, you need to understand like how your words translate to other people's ears, whether or not that's what you meant in your heart and stuff like that. So I think that self-awareness is such a big thing too. Cause then you can take that advice and you know what's warranted and what isn't because you're already like really, really self-aware.
That's awesome.
But it goes a step even deeper of like, why would you trust somebody if you have this feeling inside of you? Like, I don't know if I believe this person.
Yeah.
Because they're like, it's not vibing on all fronts. And what they're saying kind of doesn't resonate. And we talk about this a lot to me to take action versus me just question it.
Totally. Yeah. And I never want to like blindly follow my own path. I'm a team player. I respect my management, my publisher, my booking agent, all those people so much, you know, but there are moments where there's a song that I super believe in and it doesn't really connect with everyone else. And they're never like, don't release this. You'll look like an idiot. But they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, yeah, but I do. You know, so that's kind of what I mean by that.
That's awesome. My favorite one. You ready?
Yes.
Finish this statement. It can be funny. It can be weird. It can be very deep.
It's probably going to be all three because you're talking to me.
That's true. But if you were to finish this statement, Donald, but if you really knew me, you would know. I mean, I feel like I know you, but I don't really know you. What would your soulmate, if I were to ask your girlfriend, I felt like she has some stuff that, yeah, but if you really knew her, you would know.
Is it supposed to, okay.
Do you want me to tell you, you want me to give you a couple of examples?
Give me like a hint of which direction it's supposed to go.
Oh gosh.
Cause it
I'll
could
give
be
you a couple
like,
examples, but it can go in any direction. Okay. All right. So for instance, like mine is if you really knew me, you would know that food is really just a catalyst for the sauce that I put on it. Like,
oh, I love that.
Love sauce.
Yeah.
So I...
Catalyst for the Sauce is actually my new band name. So yeah.
Perfect.
What
only
is yours?
20%.
Like someone was like, I can't stand like the sound of someone eating.
Mm.
Like except for my wife or something. They're like, that's weird.
Well, one was
no,
like,
he only said that so his wife wouldn't get mad. That's why.
Yeah. I actually think
that
was Logan.
That's a doghouse statement, Logan.
True. He was another girl's like, I will love you forever and forgive you for anything if you give me pickle juice.
Yeah.
That's how much she loves.
Sixth love language was give me pickle juice.
Interesting. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh. I'm always walking around like, yeah, I know who I am. Like, I'm so into, and now I'm like, who am I? Like, you asked me that question. I'm like, I don't know. All right. Well, Donald, if you really knew me, you'd know that when I need to like feel good, the only music I listen to is from the 90s.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's good.
Like, that's like my put it on any time of day and I'll vibe with it. Like sometimes like I like love John Mayer, but I got to be in the mood for it, you know? Mm-hmm. But if I like want to just like come home and relax and I'm honestly tired of hearing music, but I want to listen to it around my house, I'm like, hey, Alexa, play me the 90s pop playlist.
90s pop. So
yeah.
Typically
what?
Going to come on.
I mean, the nice thing about 90s pop, which this is like, you know, you got me started, but, is that it was really rock and country. And, you know, you had Shania Twain, TLC and Matchbox 20 all in a row on pop radio. And that's why I love it.
You're talking about my glory.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right. So
like Gin Blossoms.
Gin Blossoms are good. Fuel.
Shimmer
in this world is sure to fade.
It was so, like
Blues Traveler.
Blues Traveler.
Mr. Hazel.
Three Doors Down was coming out.
Three Doors Down's a good one. Oh yeah, what was the Creed?
Creed.
Yeah,
that
can
was like
you take me higher.
That was the whole like I didn't buy this, my friend gave it to me CD, but everyone was like, I love it. In like, see, it was.
You know
like,
what? And what I will say is, this is actually very unpopular opinion, but this feels like a safe space. If you can't admit that You Remind Me by Nickelback is a good song, get out of my life.
I could somebody please explain me when they turn the corner to be the most mocked band of the 90s?
Yeah,
and not even mocked. Like, they are.
Like,
I don't care.
I get it. Like, they remind me.
Was it a Saturday Night Live skit that made a comment and all of a sudden it became cool to mock
them?
Yeah,
it's cool to make fun of them. What else is it cool to make fun of? It's cool to make fun of. Oh, you know what I hate? This is another thing I hate. I don't like people who hate on Nickelback, and I don't like people who call people annoying. Because if you call someone annoying, it's usually because you think they're too nice. And who the hell thinks someone's too nice?
Mm, true.
You know? So those are my qualms. Take them or leave them. It's how I feel. This has been...
Never mind.
This has been Feelings with Kaylee Shore.
Okay, let's go anger, right. And then we'll get to annoying, and then... Ginger.
This ain't the Delilah show, all right? This is not sensitive. We're going to tell you how it is. Very.
But I'm with you, man. If You Remind Me gets on the radio, I think everybody...
Yeah.
This is how Hanson?
Hanson. Oh, great song.
Come on. I don't care who
you
are.
I love
you
that you said great song, Hanson, because they had
one song, basically. But that's all right.
Yeah, I'm not sure I could name another one, but that's a jam. It's a straight up jam.
They're like, can you believe it's like 20 years old?
Yeah.
That song. And they play it now acoustically.
Did you see like the blood drain out of my face? I was like, oh my God.
You were three.
Sometimes when people, you know, my mom said something to me, she's like, oh yeah, that was like 20 years ago. And I was like, oh my God, I've been alive long enough to remember things.
We skipped over something and I meant to come back to it and I forgot. Yes. You're the youngest of six?
Yeah. So I'm from like a very blended family. Meaning that like if I tried to, my family tree is not a tree, it's a forest. Mm-hmm. That's just
good
like
analogy, though.
You know, this is my half sibling. We have the same mom, not the same dad, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, I'm the youngest of six. So I kind of had an interesting experience because I was the youngest. Even though I have a ton of siblings, I grew up predominantly just with me and my mom in the house. So
I was kind of the same way.
Yeah, it's weird.
I'm an only child, technically, but I have a half sister who is 13, 14 years older and a half brother who's 13, 14 years younger.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
So I basically grew up an only child.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Interesting. Yeah, I feel you on
and
that.
And halves from different parents. Right. Sister, dad, mom, brother. Anyway. All right. So my favorite part, unless you had something, Kevin, super.
Well, no, I just, now, because you brought up 90s pop and I got so excited.
But, see, this is why.
No, so it's Dashboard.
It for me. Confessional?
Yeah, and All American Rejects are playing at Ascend on the 12th.
What? Can we go?
Sure.
Yeah?
Let's do all right. it.
Dude. I'll bring a purse big enough to sneak in the One Hope.
To see, sneak, I was sneaking who? Do you have something
that can fit? Yeah. We'll figure that out.
Like Taylor Swift getting carried in the suitcase out of her apartment in New York. Have you heard about this?
Excuse me?
There were like pictures of her bodyguards like carrying this giant trunk back and forth. And it's obviously very heavy because two giant men are carrying it. And people think it's her going back and forth from her apartment.
That's some Ocean's 12 stuff.
Do you want to know my theory though?
Yes.
It's her record. I think it's her record. And they have it in like a crazy case and they're carrying it to make people listen to it. Because rumor has it, the only way she lets people listen to her records is on like an old school, like no internet. iPod. I can't even think of the word for it. An iPod.
Really?
And they have to listen to it through headphones. She won't email it or anything. I think that's what it is. So
that's awesome.
2 months from now, when she drops a single, you're going to come back and you're going to be like, Kaylee Shore knew. Yeah. All right.
I kind of want to do the same thing with my episodes now. Like I don't want to send them to iTunes. I want to make a hard copy CD. So remember those?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So we're handing them out next to Hot Dog Guy.
That's so edgy. I love it. I love it. We'll sell it at a record store. Oh my God.
And the only way you're going to hear my episodes now, seriously, is like that. You got to be very, that wouldn't work at all.
You can catch this on Amazon Prime, Apple Music, Spotify, and also in my basement. You have to, cash only. Yeah.
You like hot dogs now that you work there for so long?
I ate a lot of them. And also you could eat as many as you wanted. They also had snow cones and I was broke. And so I was like, I don't have to pay for groceries. This is awesome. So I existed only on hot dogs and snow cones.
I would be 450 pounds.
We also sold cigarettes. I never quite got into that, but
you have great jeans.
Thank you.
Hey, my favorite part, which is we get to hear you play and sing. Are you cool?
Yes,
with that?
I'm so ready.
Before we kind of break and sound check and all that good stuff, what are you going to sing for us and tell us kind of like the story behind it and all that good stuff?
I don't know. Should I play something unreleased or should I play the one people know? Do you have a preference?
Ooh, Kevin, what do you think? I preferably say one of your favorites that's not released.
Okay. I've got one that kind of kicked off this whole self-discovery period I've been on. It's called Awake. And I wrote it probably 2 months ago and it's really started this what I feel like is the second chapter of my artistry. I feel like I'm so proud of what I've done so far, but this has felt like the first time I've ever been able to put my finger on it and be like, this is who I am. This is what I do. And it feels more singular than anything else I've done. And, I'm really proud of it, but I wrote this song and it was just such an emotional thing, more from I was tired. I, was out with my best friend Lena for her birthday and things are going well, guys. I've had some tequila. I've had some Corona. I felt like I drove my car home and then a beer in and then came back and Ubered. It was that kind of night. You know what I mean? Yeah. Where I was like, okay, you need to bring your car home, come back, then you can party.
This is about to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I'll just have a drink. And then I was like, I'm going to have 12. I'm going to go bring my car home. I'll be right there. And I was feeling fabulous. We were on the rooftop at Winners or Losers. I don't remember which one. And then I looked down at my phone and I saw my ex-boyfriend's name and I was like, oh, you knew. Yeah. He has a little radar. And basically this guy does this all the time, but we've been broken up for a long time. And he actually essentially left me for my best friend in high school. And I stayed friends with both of them. So that was nice, Kaylee. I'm not nice Kaylee anymore. It was awful. And, anyways, so he was texting me and was trying to make me his emotional support system again. And he was like, listen to my problems. I want to talk to you, blah, blah, blah. And I was just kind of had this moment because I let him do this a lot. And I was like, why am I letting you literally emotionally walk all over me? There's no, and so, and then I asked him, I was like, why did you text me? And he was like, oh, I knew you'd be awake. And I was like, there's a song there. And so the next day I went in and was talking to my co-writer, Skip Black. And he's amazing. And he just listened to me rant and was like, well, let's make this a song. And we did. And it's just it feels so personal. And it's mostly just I can't be you're everything if I'm nothing to you. I can't only be there when you want me to be. And like, we're, him and I are never getting back together, but he was still like finding a way to use me, you know? And yeah, it was tough. It was really tough. And it's still like, you know, it's been a long time, but it still hurts when someone does that to you. So I wrote a song about it and I'm going to play it for you guys.
Great.
I can't wait. Do you think at any point in time, this will have a video that goes with it?
I hope so.
Do you think at any point in time, there will be any kind of like intimate makeout scene in this video? I'm just wondering.
No, probably not.
Okay. All I'm saying is that at any point in time, if you need that person.
Here we go.
You know what? Honestly,
he always plugs this. He's plugging all day today. I love it. I'll play you this after. And for anyone who's listened to multiple episodes, you know what's about to happen.
Listen, it hadn't been brought up in many episodes, Kevin.
I felt like it was losing its luster a little bit, and I'll be honest. We've been off site.
Okay, we have.
And we haven't had the capabilities.
All right.
But listen,
I'm plugging a career track here. I'm not plugging anything but a skill set. All right.
I get it.
So I'm just saying, like, you know how some people, like, anytime you need a part played in a movie or whatever, like, you go to that guy because they do that. Right?
Yes.
So I'm just saying that I have a specialty. And
being the hot guy in music videos?
Oh, I didn't say that at all. I did not say that at all.
Oh, wait, sorry. He's been viewed over
90 million times.
Well, I'm just saying, why would you want to play this guy in a music video? He's terrible.
No, I don't want to be that guy.
He just wants to make out in a video.
That's right. That's all that
He's
is.
He's been viewed over 90 million times.
Amazing.
No, hold on. That had nothing to do with me.
What video were you in?
No.
I'll tell you what music video I was in if you tell me what music video you were in.
All right, you first.
No, you first.
I'm going first.
Mine's really good.
Go for it.
No, mine's really good. Right, no, but hold on. First.
I wasn't the douchey guy in mine.
Who were you?
I was the other guy, but in a respectable way. It was Breakup in a Small Town and Sam Hunt.
Yes.
And the song's about, you know, I never thought she would get down with somebody I know. But they had already broken up. I was just the other guy, right? So that was me.
Some guy I went to high school with. Okay.
I love it.
Okay. So the back of my head had a feature in Taylor Swift's Mind music video.
The back of your head?
Yes. It's my best side, so.
Whatever.
I've only made that joke approximately 20 times before.
And you always get the laugh, which you keep using it.
Look at us. I mean, wow. Together, we're like an actual IMDb page.
Let's do it.
I'm in the back like, what's up, guys?
Have you ever been in a music video?
Yeah. It was I Know Somebody.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, we went and skated out wherever we went to Nashville forever.
This was on my birthday.
Those are like three pretty big artists that we've been.
This is amazing. Wow. I'm proud of us.
Figured out I'm terrible.
We're an acting troupe. I mean, we are.
Put me on skates. Yeah.
Love it. All right. Well, no music video. I just want to hear you play and sing. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. It's Kaylee Shore and her song, Awake.
Of, I wish that I was surprised. When I'm vulnerable and drunk, I know you ain't far behind. Baby, you're always on edge. I've talked you down off every ledge. I wish I didn't care so much. You only call when something's wrong. I should just turn my phone off. Gonna break myself being your crutch. Awake. I'm the only one who's still awake. I'm the only one who makes you feel awake. Seven numbers away when you just need to be saved. Between tomorrow and today, you know my shoulders are there to carry the weight. Cause I'm the only one who's still awake. You've got a girlfriend now, why don't you call her up? Calming you down when you're a mess. Isn't that her job? you're talking all about how you miss me, need me now, but you never needed me when I needed you.
Boyfriend feels about that song, but I love it.
Oh, he's gonna find out. So
that's really it. It's a dream.
You know what? And that's so funny because I feel like he. Are we talking? Is this part of the podcast?
Oh, everything is a part of the podcast.
Is this okay? Cool. All right. So the F word I was about to say is not gonna happen. Just kidding. Yeah, but it's like, you know, and he's just gonna have to deal with it. We used to be in a band together, and it was like a really bad cover band in middle school, and he would we'd each write songs like about each other and angrily play them in the same band. And it was like, they were so bad. They'll never see the light of day, but, it was pretty funny and very passive aggressive of us.
Oh, that's awesome. So do y'all still talk as friends occasionally?
He's texted me a couple times. It's kind of like a Christmas and birthday sort of deal.
You have a boyfriend now.
I do. Yeah.
Does this current boyfriend know about this guy?
Well, I hope so. Cause I'm talking about it on a podcast. No, he's great. No. And he gets it. It's just like, we're pretty open with each other. And it's like, hopefully next single Two Hands is all about him. And it's just about like, there's a line that's like, you hold the door, but never hold me down. Cause you know, you got nothing to worry about. And, it's so true. Like there's no room for a jealous boyfriend in this industry. Cause like, I mean, I literally like, you know, I go and write in the room with like two dudes who are artists and they're hot. You know, he can't be jealous of that. It's just like, everyone's pretty in Nashville. You've just got to deal with it. You know, like I have this theory.
Well, go ahead.
You'll appreciate this, but every girl in Nashville is a hometown 10. Cause they're all like the hottest girls from their hometown. Right. But then you move to Nashville and you're used to being like a hometown, like maybe like 8, 9, 10, but you go to Nashville and you're like a 5 again. And you're like, oh shoot. So like when you meet a girl who's like a Nashville 10, you're like, oh my God, you know exactly.
Wow.
People came to mind when I said that, didn't they guys?
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually glad I got that on recording, actually.
It's true.
Totally true.
You go to a bar and like the girl that you're not really paying attention to, she's the hottest girl in her hometown.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I love Nashville. I'm just kidding. This has been a blast.
Oh, it's been so much fun.
At some point, you know, when you break out of your comfort zone and meet new people, I think we could really, you know... maybe have some, you know, conversations and get along. Just throwing out there.
You know, as soon as I'm like a little less shy, I think we could probably be friends. Yeah. I agree. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're not done with me. Not yet.
Okay, what do we have?
Well, you have a couple things, but the first thing that I must do is, for one, hey, at some point, will you come back?
Yes.
Are you
absolutely.
Sure?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because I have Super Sick McCarty over here as my non-legal counsel. So non-legal counsel, Kevin, go ahead.
Just so you know.
Yes.
It's on recording that you said yes.
Yes.
Legally binding.
Legally binding. You have contract. To now come back on.
Okay, good to know.
I can now sue you if you don't come back on.
Well, you know what? Let me know who your lawyer is because I need to sue the ginger shots people too. Right.
So. I've already been drafting a note.
Okay, good. A strongly worded note.
Your ginger shots.
This honestly, ginger can't handle your ginger shots. Right, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, you and I have an upcoming round in a boxing ring.
Yes, we do.
So we do. Y'all stay tuned for that. And that's the other reason why you haven't got rid of me. But I'm not holding back on you. I'm just telling
it's
you.
It's going to be fun.
All right.
I'm very excited.
No, this has been
a blast. I got her, man.
I'm actually really pumped. That sounds like hilarious.
Oh, it's going to be a blast.
I know my fans would love that.
It's
so.
Going to be a blast.
All they right. love when I you know, make a fool of myself. So
and beat up dudes. I get it.
Mm. You know what? I really don't. I don't. Dude before. I don't think I've ever beaten up anybody, actually, but like, I don't
I
think
love
I've
you
ever.
Think about it.
Well, there's that one time.
I might have thrown a cell phone once, but like, not like at a face, you know, just like across the room. I'm not an angry person. I just write
songs. Texting me. Well, hey, listen, thanks so much for coming on. Looking forward to really just kind of watching, following your career. I mean, you're already a big deal. But it's exciting to see.
Thank you. I'm very
excited.
Where you're
going to go from here, right?
Yes.
And then, please come back, hang out, at least be a co-host or
please.
Something.
Oh, I love
yeah?
that. That'd be so fun.
We do it. Right. We need more of them.
Let's do it.
That'd be awesome.
Thanks
so
for
fun.
Hanging out. We'll see you on the other side.
This has been HIDS Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.